Welcome to the Mustang Owners Podcast. And now your host, John Clore.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Mustang Owners Podcast. This is the Ford Performance Edition. And I'm your host, John Clore. I'm the Enthusiast Communications Manager for Ford Performance, and my co-host is none other than the Mustang Club guru and the president of the Mustang Owners Club of Southeastern Michigan, Mike the Man Ray. Mike, good evening. How are you doing tonight?
Good. How are you guys? Glad to be here tonight.
Well, Mike, you did it again. You somehow tracked down one of the hardest working guys in the hobby and got him to give us some few minutes of his time. He's probably just even too busy to talk to us. But why don't you introduce our guest and figure out how did you get him to block out some time? Because this guy stays busy all the time.
I'll tell you what, you know, met many people in this industry, but there's no bigger class act in this whole industry than Kevin Marty. I can tell you that. You know, when I remember the first time I met him, I was just starstruck, if you will. And, you know, because I've heard the Marty reports for years and years and always seen that, and then to actually meet the man behind it was very overwhelming for me, to say the least. And then to get to know him as a friend and you know, comrade, if you will, in the industry, but now just to call him a really, really good friend is such an honor and pleasure for me, and just a complete true asset to the Mustang and Ford community.
Welcome, Kevin Marty. How you doing tonight? Thanks for joining us.
I am doing great, guys. Really, I appreciate the platitudes. That's why I took the time out. Seriously, you guys are some of the greatest guys. And boy, just to spend time with you guys is always a treat.
Well, we appreciate that, Kevin. I know Mustang owners from all over the country and really all over the world would just love to hear your voice and to figure out what the heck, how did you get into this business? We're going to talk a little bit about what a Marty Auto Works Auto Marty report is. But Kevin, I think the big thing is, you can talk all you want about your Mustang, and there's something about owning one where just having, your registration and your proof of insurance isn't enough. You want to know everything about it. It's like when you first meet this girl and you think she's really hot, and then all of a sudden you start asking her questions of previous boyfriends. And it's like that with a Marty report, because you want to know where was this car in history and how in the heck did it start off? And Kevin, how did you start off getting this information? Because I'm pretty sure I remember you selling NOS reproduction parts.
Well, yeah, although it did start way earlier than that. It was kind of a fluke thing. This is just my naivety. So, I still have my first car. It happens to be a Cougar, not a Mustang. But when I found the owner's manual, there was a little postcard that was in the back of the manual that the person never sent in. And it said, send this in to Autolite Division and we'll send you a little gift. Now, realize I'm doing this about 8 years after the car had been made, but I naively assumed that I could send that in. I sent it in and I got a nice letter back saying, well, that contest doesn't exist anymore. However, here's some information about your car. And I knew that the information they sent me back was way more than you could have gotten from just a door data plate. Mm-hmm. And so I was intrigued, but it was just one of those just hung in the back of my mind for basically two decades before I started thinking, you know, let me pull that letter back out. And when I reviewed it, I realized they had to have still had the data on my car. And that's what started this.
Wow. Well, and like many other people, there's a huge interest in where your car first started, because a lot of us are not first owners. In fact, there's a club of Mustang original owners that was at the 50th in Charlotte. Mike, I don't know if there was a faction of those people going to Vegas, but they were original owners that bought the car as a new Mustang and still have it. There's not too many people like that. And some of these Mustangs have traded hands several times. And Kevin, as you know, people like to modify their cars. And you might think you have a beautiful red convertible, but it may have not been born red.
Yeah, exactly right. In fact, I have several cars that if you bought the car from me at some point in the last 40 years, you probably would say this car came with factory air conditioning, and you would have found out that if it was one of the cars I owned, I bought several cars that did not have factory air, but living in Phoenix, Arizona, I went down to the junkyards and I pulled all of the factory parts out, converted those cars over as I had need each time I was driving one of these cars, and I converted them to AC cars. So yeah, that's, you know, we hang all kinds of extra stuff on these cars, or we change the color because we don't like the original lime gold or whatever. So we've modified them, and now so many decades have gone by, and so these cars have a patina with these changes that have been made, and so we'd swear that that's the way that car came to
Mike, you were saying something about Mustang being the most customized car. I mean, other than what, the Jeep maybe?
So Jeep is the most modified vehicle in the world. Mustang is the most modified domestic car in the world.
Okay, so that people just can't leave it alone. I mean, some people love it original, won't touch it, and they're going to put it in a bag and save it until they're 90. But other people just love to leave their stamp on it. And Kevin, that's why Mike and I have always said, no matter what kind of show, whether it's 100 cars or 1,000 Mustangs, we've never gone to a show where we've seen two Mustangs absolutely identical. I mean, to me, that's craziness. So you really were kind of a computer guy, and you know, you did get into the reproduction parts business. I know that. But how did the data stuff wind up in your lab? I know there was a gal at Ford who was chasing Thunderbird data for people, but as all good things at Ford, somebody retired and things were going to go away. How did all that wind up in your lab?
Well, this started with, again, this is another Cougar story. Sorry for all you Mustang guys, but I started with Cougars, and I had a Cougar Eliminator that I had bought, and I got all done restoring it, went down to the dealer to go buy the stripe kit. The car was only 10 years old, and I was told it had been discontinued. And I was so disappointed because the stripe kit helps define the car.
Sure.
And so again, in a friend of mine and I started just making long distance phone calls. This is back in the days where we racked up over $100 a month phone bills and long distance calls.
Oh, I remember long distance. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. And we just kept calling different departments at Ford, and finally ran into this guy named Glenn who worked in power products. And the guy had a couple of old MGTDs. And so he understood what it was like to try to find parts for cars. So he kind of went to bat for us, and he found out that the tooling still existed. He wound up making the appropriate requests.
Wow.
We put a purchase order in, bought the stripe kits for these Cougar Eliminators. The next thing you know, Tony Branda, Performance, calls me up, says, "Hey, can you do that with 70 Boss 302s? I go, "Well, let me check." And that, starting in 1982, that began my relationship with Ford.
Okay.
And over the years, that relationship and trust built, and then this idea of asking them about the data. But by then, I had a 17-year history of buying and being involved with their licensing program before we launched into this idea of acquiring the data.
Well, I know this, Mike and I talk about some of the most important things in our hobby. And I know Pontiac has a service, and a lot of the foreign car makers have services where you can check the history of a car. But I got to tell you, Kevin, having a Marty report and having you do the service that you do for Mustang and Ford owners across the U.S. is a very important part of the car collector world. And I know that when you first got the Thunderbird data and you saw that there, you know, I look at T-Bird, I know you're a Cougar guy, but I look at T-Bird as kind of the clubs that started it all. They, you know, before Thunderbirds, the clubs in Ford were like the Model T guys, the Model A guys. They were pretty much like, where do you get parts? They weren't a social club. Like the T-Bird people really cruised and they started this thing. And that's why I think they were so, with the low numbers that they built, they were so concerned about people making, you know, winding up with more 57 Thunderbirds that Ford actually built, and how that that data got into your hands, I think you at some point the light bulb must have gone on. You said, "Hey, wait a minute. We should not just sell parts. We should sell this data because people know it's important."
Well, of course, actually, that part of it was really done by Lois Eminger,
right?
Her and her husband had gotten involved with this all the way back in the early 60s. She worked for the legal department at Ford, and she's the one that originally requested these actual paper documents for these vehicles. Then Lois and I became friends back in the 80s. And again, through some of these contacts is what eventually led to Ford graciously being willing to do this. But, you know, there's no other car company that has released all of their electronic data of all of their production records. I don't care what company in the world, this is the only one that's actually made the complete records, electronic records, completely available to their hobbyists.
Hmm. That is important. Mike, do you have Marty reports on your cars, or do you try to, every time someone asks you about a car, isn't the first thing that comes out of your mouth, call Kevin Marty or get in touch with a Marty report?
Absolutely. And I do have it for my 93 that's at the Halderman Museum right now. And now with the information that I got with Kevin before the show, I'll be ordering my 05 report tomorrow.
It's a good idea because, Kevin, as you know, you've been doing this a long time. There's three different kinds of reports. You can get the standard Marty report, you can get the deluxe, which is always the ones I order when I get my reports. And then there's the elite. Marty, I see that you frame those for people in a nice frame, and I've seen them at car shows.
Right. Yeah. You want me to talk a little bit about each?
Well, yeah. I mean, I know the standard, I would guess, I'm just guessing on this, but I would guess your most popular order of getting a report on your Mustang is, or your Ford, is getting a deluxe report because there's a lot of stuff in it.
Yeah. You're
talk about them all, Kev.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And this all goes back to our childhood when we used to get the Sears catalogs. And you remember they have the good, better, best? Really where this philosophy came from. The standard report's idea is nothing more than if you're thinking about buying a car and you just need to know basically what was the door data, the real door data plate information, not a possible reproduction, but what was the correct original door data plate information and what options came on the car. So that's what the standard is. We then, if you order that, we always allow you to, without wasting your money, you can just pay an upgrade fee to then get the next level, the deluxe report, which includes all that again. But then in addition to that, we can tell you various pieces of history about the car. Like there's seven production dates that are important to the car, like what day the order was received, what day did that car start down the assembly line, what day was it released, what day was it sold. This is all contained in the deluxe report, along with what dealer actually sold it. Because, you know, people like to do things like drive their car back, even if it's just an empty lot now. Sometimes people like to visit. And in some cases, I've had plenty of people that have told me, the original dealer doesn't own it, but the current dealership had kept their records. And so sometimes guys have been able to go find old warranty records on their cars. So that's what's kind of exciting about getting that deluxe report and knowing things like what dealer had the car. You also get statistics about the car because everybody wants to know my car is one of how many. And then ultimately, that's what that elite report does for you, because we take that breakdown, just like your 93, Mike. I remember when you were thinking about buying that, you wanted to know how unique it was. So you had me run that personalized production stat for it to break down. Of the total number of 93 Mustangs, this is how many convertibles. Of those, this is how many came with this engine. And then of those, how many with that transmission? We just keep drilling it down to make it unique as possible. And the topper with that is we actually, Ford licensed us to reproduce the window sticker. And it is an extremely accurate window sticker, right down to where it applies starting in 77 and later. It has all the EPA data on it. The newer ones have all the crash data.
To see the data like that and how the daisy wheel printers were done. And I remember when I got my 78 to try to scrape that off, that window sticker with a razor blade. And of course you only get about 70% of it.
Yeah.
But Kevin, people always ask me, I said, well, do you have a Marty report on the car? They say, no, but I was told that I got something that's really important. I found the build sheet under the back seat. And they look at this tore up, stained piece of paper with a bunch of numbers on it, and they have no idea what it means. I think the Marty report kind of solves that for people. It's not just the numbers.
Yeah, it really does basically flesh out in plain English how your car was born.
Right, and that's what a lot of people don't understand. You might have the build sheet, but all those numbers and in those little boxes mean something. And when you buy the Marty report, it tells you what that means. If this was the axle, or this was the original paint code, or this was the options that it had on it. And yeah, the build sheet's great, but if you have the correct VIN, the Marty report is the exact same information, correct me if I'm wrong, Kevin, that you would normally get. The same information was punched out on the build sheet and put in the car.
Well, it's not as detailed because the build sheet gets into things like what color were the coil spring stripes that were put on it. We don't have that, you know, we don't give you that piece of information, but it is going to tell you whether it had, for example, the heavy duty suspension or the export suspension.
Mm-hmm. Well, just so that you know, Mike and I don't hang around those people that need to know what stripe they painted on the coil springs. Mike, we quit hanging with them. I mean, let's face it, they need to get out more.
And to give you an update, my 93, Kevin was the deciding factor in me buying that car. And on the Deluxe Marty report, mine is one of four for the 93 convertible that I have.
And you would only get that, Mike, if you had gotten a Marty report. You'd have no idea if you didn't get the Marty report. I mean, and owners can tell you something, but what is that worth? And Kevin, I know the Mustangs now, even though there's 10 million of them out there, or there have been 10 million sold, I don't know if they're still out there. The bottom line is some people try to pass off their cars as things that they weren't, you know, maybe, a lackluster six-cylinder car somehow sprouted a V8 somewhere along the restoration route. You're able, I think, to bring this clarity to collectors so that they don't throw their money away at phonies and fakes. You know, when I worked at SVT, we would see a guy take a GT and put Cobra stuff on it. We called them Fobras.
That's clever.
Yeah, but, you know, as soon as we saw a 96 Cobra with an automatic, we go, that's not a Cobra. But, Kevin, I think in our world, that's got to put stress on you because don't you get a lot of, let's face it, you and I crossed paths for a very important thing that happened just a few years ago. I wouldn't have dreamed of going into a validation process without having Kevin Marty next to me. And folks, in case you don't know this, I'm talking about a phone call I'd received it's been about 8 years now. Hey, Mr. Clore, I understand you work at the time I was working at racing. He said, I have the original bullet. And I said, yeah, well, listen, if I had a nickel for everybody that told me they had the original bullet, I'd have at least 25 cents. So they wanted me to come down and see it. They swear to God, it really is. And oh my God, I knew Brad Bowling was chasing this car. Brad's a good friend, journalist friend of mine. And I know it was under wraps. And I said, I'm not going to go down there and validate a car. I will not even look at this car until I bring Kevin Marty. And this film producer said, who's Kevin Marty? I go, well, if you don't have Kevin Marty coming down, look at this car with me, I'm not going to show up. Well, get him on the phone. And Kevin, of course, you showed up and we did spend the afternoon. And oh my gosh, we did know that we were standing and looking at the original movie car, the Steve McQueen car. And having you there, Kevin, no matter how much you may think you know about Mustangs, you could be an author or a columnist. When you're Kevin Marty, your voice is heard where other people are just opinions. And I think you brought such value and clarity to the Kiernan family and then to all the other people who are buying Mustangs that really want to make sure they have the real deal. That, I think, Kevin, you've had a lot of experiences in the hobby, but how do you rate that one as one of the coolest things that happened?
Oh, that's a definitely top fiver. It may be the best experience. That was a real fun time, wasn't it, John? Everything from being able to sit in that theater and watch the movie on full screen again, which you hadn't seen for 40 some years.
Yeah.
Movie that way, the chase scene, that is, we didn't
see. Yeah, that's what we watch it for.
Yeah, exactly.
We fast forward a lot.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I do really feel bad because now a lot of times what happens is someone buys a car and they got told a story,
mm-hmm.
and they you know, they were good natured and they have a good heart, and they wanted to believe the story. And then they go out later on, and then there comes a point where they're going to go sell that car. And of course, then anger takes place once they get told, well, no, that car's not, that's not correct. Now the Kiernans had a pretty good idea that their car was correct only because they got a letter from Steve McQueen asking to buy the car back. But right. Ordinarily, for every good story like that, there's just, unfortunately, we probably on a daily basis have someone, at least every day, upset because their car wasn't what they thought it was. Although that's part of the reason why we like to say, buy the report before you buy the car. It's cheap insurance.
Right. And I do know some people that said, oh, I had this great car all lined up and then Kevin Marty ruined it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel bad because it's like, I don't like giving out bad news, but I'm also, I'd rather know the truth. And I know that's not always popular. It's nice to believe in fantasy, but, you know, we all eventually came to realize, I hope children under 9 are not listening to this, but, you know, when you find out, no, there really isn't a Santa Claus. That's more kind of an idea that we carry. I don't like breaking hearts, but I'd rather know the truth.
Yeah. The data is the data. And, that's why it's so important. And I know, Mike, when we, I don't know if you've ever done this, Mike, but I've had some friends that Mustang friends that have everything, you know, that I used to make jokes about when you'd come visit me at my office, Mike, at Ford Racing, and I had 100 Mustang books in that shelf. And I didn't tell Jenny that I had another 100 at work. She just thought the 100 I had at home was all I had. And we're just crazy like that. But you have to admit, this is one thing that everybody, it's a really good investment, Kevin. And I think that what you're doing, it's a lot of work. It's crazy to the total amount of data that you have to sort through. And every time you add a year, how many people do you have working for you other than Shelley?
We've got about 8 others. It is not enough. In fact, I just have one particular project, which is just has to do with the dealer information that appears on the report. By my best calculations at this point, that one aspect will not be completely finished for 20 more years with one person working on it.
Oh my goodness.
Full time. Right now we have to do certain things like the dealer directory in a manual fashion. We have to manually look up a lot of things. We do want all of that data to eventually be contained in a computer that's just available out there, because let's talk about a reality that we don't always like to face, but we are going to have to face it. We're not going to live forever. In fact, I remember at the 50th when I was talking, I was saying, some of you here might be for the 100th celebration. I probably won't be.
Mike Ray will.
Yeah, Mike probably will.
He will be there. That's the point. And I think what people need to understand is, if you're even have an inclination about keeping your car or trying to know and understand its value, the Marty report makes sense, because you know, even though you're adding years, the two things that they talk about being upset with you, Kevin, is one, I have a 65 Mustang and you can't help me. Why don't you explain to people why you can't help them?
Yeah, this is a funny story about Ralph Nader. Those of us that are old enough remember that Ralph Nader was the guy that really was interested in safety in the car industry, and he kind of single-handedly caused Congress to pass the Federal Motor Vehicle Safety Act of 1966, and then followed up with the 68 Act, which gave us things like side marker lights and such. But going back to 66, that's kind of when recalls started becoming the norm, that the car companies had to keep track of what they put on the cars. And then if something went wrong with, for example, the rear window defrosters, they had to go recall all those cars and have the dealers repair them. And that's why, starting in with the 1967 model year, they had to start keeping track of the cars and who owned the cars. This exists to this day. Ford knows, to the best that they can, they know who owns all of the cars, because the DMVs of all the states send them information whenever cars change hand. Wouldn't you like to get a hold of that?
Well, yeah, that's the other thing, because when you buy a car, it's like, geez, I wish I could talk to the previous owner. And they don't understand that Kevin Marty cannot give you the name and the address of the person that owned the car previously.
No, unfortunately, it's all privacy records. But as far as Ford, because they had to start keeping the 67 records, that's the year the data got kept. The 66 and earlier, eventually, just because it was being stored on those old mag tapes, it was so expensive back then that I talked to the guy who one day got a memo from his boss that said, say, we need that tape, that 1966 data tape erased because we need to put something else on it. This took place in the 80s, but with that, the press of a button, all the 66 data went away. And then, of course, the earlier years had also been destroyed. And there have been various attempts to try to get a hold of that. I talked to Edsel Ford about it one time, and he got some money together and he had some searches done, and in the end just came up empty handed. So yeah, I do feel for the first model of the Mustang. It's just not a good prospect that we'd ever see data for those. But at least for the other 9 million Mustangs out there, they can know the truth.
You know, a lot of people don't understand that. But ladies and gentlemen, it's just, it's sad. Corvette had the same issue. I know that they brought some money together. They couldn't find some data, and they went on an archaeological dig within General Motors. And I don't believe they were successful to find the holy grail of missing data. And Kevin, I know that, you know, you would have loved to have the 65 and 66, but how do you rate enthusiasts, guys like in the clubs or restores, to go back and try to back up the history, starting with VIN numbers, and try to fill in the blanks on their own? Are they doing a pretty good job when you're looking at some of these forms, like the 65 and 66 guys, trying to figure that out?
Yeah, I think that there's been some tremendous work by, you know, there were guys like Bob Freya that really got interest going in some of those prototype cars. Guys that have followed on since then, trying to look for, of course, the only place you find this is actually you have to find it on or in the car itself. But when people started noticing things like some of that, the etched numbers that are sometimes on the core supports of the cars, those things, they certainly help that first generation. And once in a while, guys find build sheets for those cars, and that nails it down for you.
Yeah. I'm always impressed. And, you know, it's amazing how much work goes into trying to validate the car, and how much work you save people when they simply go to www.martyauto.com and click on Marty Reports. Kevin, you're just making everybody's life so much easier. And I know now you're working on a big project with Ford. Just recently, Jim Owens and the Mustang brand team have launched a special vehicle registry, thanks to all your hard work, be able to bring that to light. Do you see this kind of love for the data behind the vehicle continuing on to the next generation of collectors, or is it pretty much, are we the only crazy ones?
No, we're not the only crazy ones. I tell you, I remember my contact at Ford that we do the whole licensing program through. When I started asking for some of the later years data, he says, what do you even need that for? he was trying to talk me out of wasting my time. And yet the funny thing is that when each time we've announced another chunk of years being available, I'm surprised at how many people jump on it and start ordering reports. That's why when we, in the next couple months, when we announce the 2018-19 reports, those guys are going to be the first ones out there ordering the reports, because they're going to want to know, how many of them did they produce this way? Like, here's a big lie that I really get disappointed with some of the news reports that are done about Mustang production, and you know, the whole Mustang Camaro Challenger. Yeah. And how, well, this year they did more Challengers than Mustangs. You know what they completely ignore in that equation? All of the exported Mustangs. They Correct. Only count U.S. But to me, you have to count total production.
Yeah.
people do not realize that one out of three Mustangs is sold overseas. In fact, you know what the number one sports car sold in Germany is? Hint, it doesn't start with the letter P.
It's amazing. Mustang. And, you know, it makes you wonder. I know Art Hyde really tried to get S197 exported and wasn't able to do it. But I think the export market is really, I mean, the rest of the world knows what a Mustang is and they've always wanted them. I think the funny thing was that Ford thought, well, since the taxes and the penalties for anything with over 2.5 liters is so expensive, we'll just make about 70% EcoBoost and about 30% V8s. Of course, the demand was the opposite.
That's right.
They want the American V8. And that's why I think, Mike, the clubs have a huge role in when people join a Mustang club, so that to tell them that this kind of service that Kevin puts out exists. And I think, don't you kind of lay it on the clubs, Mike, that it's up to them to show them what's available?
You know, you got collectors like Mike Berardi, you know, and correct me if I'm wrong, Kev, but I think Mike Berardi has a Marty report for every single one of his cars. Isn't that correct?
He does indeed.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a must to go. If you got a collector car, I mean, it's kind of like it has to go with it. You know, if you're going to buy a collector car and they say, well, we don't have a Marty report. Like I said, you're getting it probably before you buy it. You know, it's kind of goes hand in hand together.
Absolutely, Mike. And that's why I think, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't have a Marty report on your current Mustang, get online to martyauto.com and check to see if one's available for you. I would highly recommend that you get it. And no, Kevin's not paying me for saying any of this stuff, and I don't get a commission, but I do get great satisfaction of people that get the right information on their car. And Mike, as you know, there's just something about getting that report and finding that little special bit of information that you didn't know about.
Firsthand, like I said, with my 93, when I seen it was one of four, that was absolutely incredible to me and really, really cool. And it's displayed proudly with the car at the Halderman Museum. And like I said, my 05 will be ordered tomorrow, Kevin.
Looking forward to it.
So, Kevin, as many hearts as you break, you have a lot of smiles as well. And you're doing a fantastic service for the Mustang hobby throughout the world. So we want to really thank you for your time tonight and appreciate everything you've done for Ford Motor Company. More importantly, and most importantly, to the hobbyists and the club members and the Mustang owners across the world that value your service. So thanks for everything you do, Kevin, and thanks for spending time with us tonight.
Oh, thank you. And hey, you guys are great. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Well, that's awesome. We'll have them again. And thanks to Mike, who finally tracked them down. And Mike, another great interview on the Mustang Owners Podcast. And we thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening in with us tonight. And make sure you tune in again next time for the Performance Edition. And we'll bring you another great guest. And until then, we will see you down the road.